are looking at a bird's eye view of the Bible, Route 66, and Genesis. When you think of Genesis, you should think of the book of beginnings. Beginnings is Genesis. And in Exodus, whenever you see Exodus, what word should you be thinking of? Exiting what land? The land of Egypt. Very good. And in Leviticus, it is mainly about two main things as far as other content that's in there. What are they? Feasts and offerings. Excellent. And then there's the book of Numbers. And in Numbers, what are they doing for 40 years? Yeah, the 40-year wilderness wanderings take place in the book of Numbers. In Deuteronomy, what should we be thinking in Deuteronomy? It is the second law and a book with a huge heart. The last sermons of Moses, huge heart that's there. Now we hit the historical books. And the first history book is what book? Joshua. And when you think of Joshua, you should think of them doing what? Conquering what land? Yeah, the promised land, the land of Israel. Very good. And then after Joshua, though, things start going downhill. And it's the book of what? Judges. And when you think of Judges, we should be thinking of what? Cycles. And there are basically seven cycles of five up there. Five S words are what the cycle is in Judges. Can anyone tell me what those five S words are? God's people start sin, and then God puts them into slavery, and then they go to God in prayer. What's another word for prayer? Supplication. And then God delivers them, or we'll call that what? Salvation. And then there's a period of silence. And then that allows them to go back into sin again. And then God puts them into slavery again. And then they call on God again. And it's very interesting how often we can go through that cycle, right? Oftentimes as we look at our own hearts. Then in during the period of the Judges, there is a book, a small little book of four chapters. Great-grandmother of King David. And what is this book's name? Ruth. And it is mainly about what? It's a love story. Yeah, a love story of God and his people, as well as the love story of Boaz and Ruth. And excellent. It's an excellent love story of God, even for folks that aren't his people yet. What I mean by that, Ruth was a Moabitess. She was not an Israelite. She was outside of Israel. But that's okay. God's plan, if you see it in the Pentateuch, God's plan originally was for Israel to be effective and effective in getting the gospel of this great Jehovah out to everyone. And there are all kinds of hints about it. In Joshua, right? There was a person, another female, who was outside of Israel. She had a bad reputation, who was included in, and she was in the lineage of Jesus Christ and David. Do you remember who that was? A prostitute named Rahab. And here is Ruth, who isn't an Israelite either. Then we come into the kingdom part of the history books. First Samuel is basically about what king? King Saul, and what kind of heart did he have? No heart for God. And 2 Samuel, though, talks about a person who does have a heart for God. And who is that? Basically, King David. And then there is David's son in 1 Kings. When you see 1 Kings, who is David's son, by the way? Solomon, and that is kind of the key word, but it's not just Solomon. It's Solomon and the what? The split kingdom. You see, the money is split in the split kingdom. Solomon, two S's. Solomon and the split. Very good. And what kind of heart does Solomon have? A divided heart. Half of his heart, he loved the Lord. It says in 1 Kings, what is it? 1 Kings 4, isn't it? Solomon loved the Lord with all of his heart. And then it says in chapter 10 later on, the only two loves Solomon ever had, Solomon loved many women. And Solomon was also the richest, and Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, other than Jesus Christ. 2 Kings are all of the rest of the genealogy after Solomon and the splitting of the kingdom, but it is a race toward where? Exile. Exile. Very good. And then there is 1 Chronicles. And 1 Chronicles, we jump back. 1 Chronicles is basically a great big huge story, an editorial on whose life? King David. And then there's 2 Chronicles. It is basically an overview, again, an editorial on what nation? The nation of Judah, the southern kingdom mostly. There is, next three are the post-exilic history books. When I say post-exilic, what do I mean by that? It's a history of Israel after what? After the exile, after they come back from Babylon, when God spanked them. And the first is, what book is this? Ezra. And he is getting the people to rejoice in building the temple, but he's also building the people in the meantime. So it's kind of a big theme that's there. There is also Nehemiah. Nehemiah? What is the theme of Nehemiah? Nehemiah doesn't go back to build the temple or the people, although he is building the people. He's going back to make sure what is built around Jerusalem. The walls, good. And then not everyone went back into Israel. Some of the Jews stayed in Persia. The Babylonian Empire collapsed. Cyrus the Great took it over. Esther stayed in Persia, and Esther, and she is the queen of Persia. We looked at the poetry section, and in Job, two S words. It is about what? Suffering, human suffering, but behind human suffering, there is God's sovereignty. Good. And in Psalms, it is basically what W word? Worship. And in Proverbs, it is basically another W word, what? Wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, it's basically about what V word? Vanity. And does vanity mean meaninglessness? No. I explained it last week. Vanity in the Bible does not mean meaninglessness. Vanity in the Bible means, here's the big word, transientness. In the vernacular, it's temporary. Temporariness. Temporary of temporaries, says the preacher. Temporary of temporaries, all is temporary. Therefore, since this life is so temporary, relationships, temporary, family, temporary, my lifespan, temporary, my health, temporary, my job, temporary, since all of it is so temporary, I need to invest my life in that which is going to last forever. Ecclesiastes. Oh, that's a great book right there. And then there is the Song of, who's this guy? Solomon. Yeah, you see his divided heart and the money and the wisdom, and he's First Kings up there. And what, but the theme of this is basically about what? Yeah, love in marriage. It is primarily love in marriage, and speaks in great poetic language of even the physical sexual relationship that's in marriage, as well as the great mental, emotional, heart relationship that is in marriage. Great little book. We hit five major prophets last week, and there are only five of them. Again, why do we call them major? Major because they're more important than the minor ones? No, their books are basically bigger. The first one is Isaiah, and there's two parts to Isaiah, G and G. What is it? Groan and glory. Groan and glory. Isaiah is a hellfire damnation preacher, and people are groaning underneath the preaching. People are groaning because of their sin. But Isaiah says there's a great day coming, and your Messiah is coming. That's a great day of glory. God's not through with his people. In Jeremiah, what is the one that this brings out about Jeremiah? The rotten sash. Yeah, the stinky sash. Rotten sash. Basically, God's people, you are acting like you are rotten. And God is going to do something with it's rotten. When you've got a dirty diaper, you throw it out. God is going to spank for that. Jeremiah also wrote what next book? Lamentations. And it is a book of what? Weeping or crying, tears, good. Ezekiel, and his name is Terry, Terry Cloth there. And in Ezekiel, basically it hits the end part of it. What would you say the theme, according to this visual, is? Dry bones. And God used this picture of my people are like dry bones. Dead, they're not doing anything. But I'm not through with my people. I'll put flesh on them and make them live again. And then the last major prophet is Daniel. Many things in Daniel, but one of the many things is many, many, what D word? Dreams, lots of dreams. Nebuchadnezzar has dreams. Daniel has dreams and visions, much about what's going to take place in the future. Now, the minor prophets, that is Hosea through Malachi, and they're minor only because they are smaller books, and there are pre-exilic. Don't forget that word, pre-exilic, post-exilic, exilic. That's a big word in the Old Testament in, as far as knowing where things fit in. There are pre-exilic minor prophets. That's Hosea through Zephaniah. And then there are three post-exilic minor prophets, and they're the three at the end. That's Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Very quickly, obviously because of the time, we're not going to have the time to dive into all of the content of all of these. As much as we'd love to, I still want us to get a bird's eye view. The first one is Hosea. Hosea, when you think of Hosea, think of harlot. Harlot. And here is what's taking place in Hosea. I need to explain that. You see, she's even there at the red light district. And you see the hose. Hosea. Okay, all right. I'm trying to make it funny here. God tells the prophet Hosea, Hosea, I want you to go marry a prostitute. And by the way, her name is Gomer. Gomer. I want you to marry Gomer. And I'm also going to tell you this. You're going to have a legitimate child, you and she together. And then you're going to have two children after that. And they're not going to be your children, but she's still going to be with you. And then after that, she's going to leave you and take the children. But that's okay, Hosea. I want you to go back and pursue her and even be a type of John to her in purchasing her back to you and in doing things for her and in buying her back. And I want you to be faithful to her in spite of her own unfaithfulness to you. You say, that sounds like a really sordid story, and it is. And dear friends, with so many things that are in the Bible, if they were to make a real film about all the stuff that even just the authorized version tells us there, it wouldn't just be a PG rating, like I can tell you that. But Hosea does it. Hosea marries the prostitute. They have a child together. Two illegitimate children. She leaves. He goes and is faithful to her and woos her back and buys her back completely to himself and then says, God, what is this all about? And God says, that's exactly the love that I have for my people. That is, we talked about it earlier, loyal, loving kindness, steadfast love, chesed, the Hebrew word. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the prophets. And Hosea really brings it up. And so, here in Hosea, we see God's steadfast love, his loyal loving kindness to his people. Because friends, we commit spiritual adultery. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I want to live life my way. I think I know what is best. And I put relationships ahead of God. I put individual people ahead of God, my children ahead of God, my spouse ahead of God, finances ahead of God. I can put the car, the house ahead of God, and all of these can become idols, but God, even in the midst of it, he allows me sometimes some consequences of my own idolatry or spiritual adultery, but God still loves and wants to woo us back. He is not out to divorce his people. And I say here, even in the Old Testament, this is eternal security as well, which I won't go into. Hosea, the next is Joel or Joel. When you think of Joel, think of locust plague, the locust plague. And the locusts are really grasshoppers. It's not something else. They are grasshoppers. Let me tell you what's happening in Joel. God's people were doing wrong. A locust plague came and destroyed their crops. All the people were griping and complaining. Ah, our crops are all gone. This is terrible. The prophet Joel comes along and says, you think this destruction, you think this little spanking from God is bad? Let me tell you something. There's a greater army than these locusts that's coming if you don't get right with God. It's called the Babylonians, and they're really going to spank you. So Joel is about locusts. And so there's a parallel there of God's judgment using even natural plagues, natural disasters, so to speak, to work in our life. And we need to make sure that we're right with him. So Hosea is what? Harlot. Hosea, harlot. Joel is what? Locust. Hosea, Joel. And then there is a moose. Amos. Amos is a sheep herder and a fig picker. He is rough. He is rough hewn. His language in Hebrew is some of the most coarse that, I mean, it's just crude, just cut right down the middle. He doesn't mince any words. You can tell he's not super well educated. And that's okay. God uses all kinds of speakers. Amos is that way. And one of the themes in Amos is a plumb line. And that's what I want you to think of when we think of Amos. Amos, a plumb line. You people are not being straight with God. You need to be straight with God. Plumb line. So, Amos, what's the word? Good. And Hosea is harlot. Joel is locusts. Amos is plumb line. And then Obadiah. One, I believe the only book in the entire Old Testament that is just one chapter. And there's an Obed. You see it? Obed. Obed. Obadiah. Or they would pronounce it Obadiah. Obed. And the key for it is brothers. You can tell those are brothers. Brothers keeper. Brothers keeper. All right? That's the phrase, brothers keeper. Let me explain what's happening in Obadiah. Obadiah is a book that was written. Obadiah was a prophet to the nation of Edom. Does anyone know who the main progenitor of the nation of Edom was? Jacob's brother Esau. And so the nation of Edom, the Edomites, were distant relatives of Israel. And here's what happened. When Israel came out of Egypt, the nation of Edom, we're not going to help you. No, you're not going to pass through our land. As a matter of fact, take that and take that. And throughout all the rest of Old Testament history, Edom always treated Israel bad. And they rejoiced and they tried to help even the heathen kingdoms spank Israel. They always helped Israel's enemies. And so finally God says, you're not your brother's keeper. Jacob and Esau ought to be working closely together. You're not your brother's keeper. Therefore, Edom, God's going to spank you. It gives great comfort to us, even as Christians. Sometimes, and here's what's happening in Israel. Israel wasn't doing right. And God was using Edom to spank Israel. But at the same time, Edom shouldn't be treating them that way. And so God is going to spank Edom. Sometimes we don't treat God correctly. And God uses other people or circumstances to get at us. That's not right either. God's not going to let them off the hook, but God doesn't let us off the hook either. We should be our brother's keeper. That's the point. Good. Jonah, everyone knows about Jonah, right? Jonah and the whale. Yeah, or fish or whale. Jonah and the whale. I don't think that I have to explain that one just for the sake of time. The next one is Mike. Mike, see the mic there? I think the people who drew these, they did a great job. In Micah, if you could think, day in court. Yeah, day in court. Micah says, he uses more courtroom language in Hebrew than any Old Testament prophet. And he says, I've got a case against you, Israel. I've got a case against you, my people. I want to bear the record against you, my people. And he reads all of their wrongdoing, and it's their day in court, and they aren't standing up very well because they've mistreated God. So Micah, day in court. Let's go back and let's just review some here. Hosea is harlot, and Joel is, it's locusts. Amos is what? Plumb line. Obadiah, brother's keeper. Jonah, okay, and the whale, good. And Micah, day in court. Nahum is another book. like Obadiah that was not written to God's people. Nahum was a book that is written to Nineveh. Remember where Jonah went? Jonah went and preached, and there was a revival there. Jonah left eventually, and the next generation, the people in Nineveh went bad. Now you say, well, what's so important about Nineveh? Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian kingdom. The Assyrians were pretty rude, crude, shrewd, lewd dudes in rude moods. Whenever they would go in and conquer a nation, they would get the people, and they would cut off their heads, and they'd cut off their arms, and they'd cut off their legs, and they'd put their heads in a pile, and their arms in a pile, and their legs in a pile, and their torsos in a pile. Huge pile. And they just let it stink and set there as a symbol to everyone else. You don't mess with the Assyrians. And so what happened? Jonah went to Nineveh. That generation repented. A generation later, they were back into their old ways again. The Assyrian Empire, God used the Assyrians to spank the northern 10 tribes of Israel. It was Babylon that spanked the southern tribes, Judah. And anyway, God uses Nahum to prophesy against Nineveh and the Assyrian kingdom, saying, yeah, you all have spanked God's people. God used you to spank his people, but you had your own choice in the matter, and God's not going to put up with that. And God is going to spank you by making the Tigris River do what? Flood. That is how Nineveh was destroyed. Sometimes we think God is going to have to do some amazing thing by changing people. No. God can do whatever he wants to. All he has to do is just send a little bit of extra rain, and the whole capital of the entire world at that time is completely destroyed. What a sovereign God, powerful God we have, who still cares about his people even though we sin. And so Nahum, flood. Nahum, flood. And it's the flood of Nineveh, okay? Nahum, the flood. Habakkuk. That's a difficult name. Habakkuk is one of my very favorite of the minor prophets. This really isn't it, but it's their theme that they have there is watchtower. Watchtower. Here's what's going on. God reveals to Habakkuk, in just a few months, the Babylonians are coming and are going to spank my people. Some of your own relatives are going to be destroyed because they've sinned. And Habakkuk says, I don't understand how you can let bad things happen to good people. Okay, well, we haven't been the best people, but still we're your people. How can you let bad things happen to your people? And the main theme of Habakkuk is from fear to faith. And he tells Habakkuk, stand on your watchtower and look. I can deliver you from fear to faith, no matter what the situation. So that's Habakkuk. And we have to hurry. Zephaniah is the day of the what? The day of the Lord. Not the day in court, that's Micah. Zephaniah is day of the Lord. And it really brings up the day of the Lord is going to burn as a fervent heat. In other words, there's coming a future day, if you don't get right with God, that's going to be burning for you. Be right with God. The last three are the post-exilic minor prophets. Haggai is what it is. Haggai is about the temple. The temple. Haggai comes back. Do you remember Ezra got the people to rejoice in building the temple, and they laid the foundation for the temple, and then they got opposition, and they didn't finish the temple. Haggai, we believe, was a little boy, about 5-6 years old, when Babylon came and spanked Israel, and he saw the temple destroyed. He was taken in the captivity, and then he comes back, and now here he is, about 85 years old now, and the foundation of the new temple is laid, but they haven't done anything about it. And he, a little 2-chapter book, lets it rip. I love this guy. He says, you all are living in nice houses. Why aren't you putting time into God's house and God's people? You're wrong. Finish that temple. And so the second temple is built. As a matter of fact, that's the temple that Jesus walked in. Herod, King Herod, years later on, about 450 years on, expanded the temple and refurbished it, but it's that temple that Jesus walked in. So that's Haggai. Zechariah, another one of my favorite Old Testament books, all of it prophecies about the coming who? The coming Messiah. And Malachi, interesting. Malachi, that's the last book of the Old Testament. That's the last indication of what God's people are like in the Old Testament. And they have hearts of what? Hearts of stone. And Malachi, the mallet, Malachi, or whatever you want to call it, Malachi, he's speaking to people with hearts of stone. Okay, now, you've been very patient. Now, I've gone a little bit over time, but I want to review them really quickly. Hosea is what? Harlot. Joel is what? Locusts. Amos is what? Plumb line. Obadiah is about what? Brother's keeper. Jonah and the whale. And Micah is what? Day in court. Nahum is about Nineveh's flood. Habakkuk is watchtower from fear to faith. Zephaniah is about the day of the Lord. And Haggai is all about the temple. Good. Zechariah is prophecies of the whom? Messiah. And Malachi is hearts of stone. Yeah, or stony hearts. Very good. Thank you. We need to pray and we'll go. Father, thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to have hearts of stone toward you. Help us to be tender and loving toward you with all of our heart. May we not be like Saul. May we not be like Solomon, who's half-hearted. May we be David, who is wholehearted in following you. We ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.